It's episode 143 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm Doug.
I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we welcome back friend of the show, Matt King, to discuss Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2.
Obviously.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. Welcome, Matt.
That was a little bit more upbeat
than our previous take.
Yeah, we had to restart it. We had the wrong microphone set up. Luckily, we didn't do the whole episode and then find that out. Right. We only did like a minute into it. We're like, oh, this looks weird.
I sounded like I was talking from across the street.
Phoning it in.
I was on location as normal.
He was like, what's her face from A League of Their Own when they shoot the video of her and she's
Marla.
Marla. She's all the way in the outfield waving.
And how about that, Marla? She sure can hit.
What a hitter.
Oh, should I say what's up, a-holes, now so we can have that whole conversation?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I thought it was fun. I didn't like it the first movie, but I liked it the second. It's an 80s reference. All right.
Yeah, it's not about cursing. It's just a-holes. Just say
assholes.
He just doesn't get it.
I guess I don't.
Out of tune with the culture.
Yeah.
The kid culture.
Whatever. No, my family's out of touch with the kid culture. They're sending my nephew all these Facebook messages about his birthday, and I'm just like, yeah, it's not on Facebook. Like, he hasn't checked that account in 3 years.
Sitting somewhere with a spinner, just staring at it.
The spinner, right. Oh, look at that thing go.
There they go.
What does it do?
Oh,
well,
it spins.
Yeah. I saw that on Bat Dad. He's like, you can try to spin the fan. And then he films it where he's holding the fan, like he's got his fingers around the middle of the fan. He's like, So Guardians of the Galaxy 2 came out last week, and it's winning the box office. Our next episode, it'll sound like we're in a time warp, because we're talking about stuff before this, because Dirty A and I recorded that beforehand, before this episode.
You're ruining the magic.
Whatever, who cares?
little behind the scenes.
I don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Into how this podcast works.
So,
secret sauce.
If we'd been smarter about it, we would have avoided movie news altogether that episode and just said, fuck it, and just kept it for today. But whatever.
You mean F it.
Whatever. This has the explicit tag.
Budget.
Explicit tag on iTunes. We're fine. So Guardians of the Galaxy is, I don't know how much money made this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't check this out.
$66 million.
Okay, so it's over $200 million.
It's so funny because, like,
over $600 worldwide.
It's so funny because they talk about, like, you know, they're like, oh, and King Arthur's flopping and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, it's going up against Guardians of the Galaxy in its second weekend. It's like, maybe if you put it up against Alien, you might have had a better...
And it's a terrible movie. Between those two things...
It's not that great. But
27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
One or the other.
But, you know...
One of those.
Well... Superman, Batman, Superman, I know it's not the same exact thing, but that also got very, very low Rotten Tomatoes, and it made a shit ton of money, so I'm just saying.
I was just disputing the quality of the movie, not the
I mean,
it should
unless
make.
You want to talk about Transformers, which is like an 8.
Yeah, so there you go. So
are they reviewed that right?
No, God, no. That doesn't come out until end of the
June. It's embargoed
June.
Yeah, so 3 years from now.
Yeah, then the reviews come out 3 years. Yeah. My joke from earlier. Anyway,
like Amy Schumer stealing jokes.
Amy Schumer,
yeah,
God, that was
right.
Fucking like a 25-minute back.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, so there's this YouTube clip that a friend of ours posted. Where it shows like all the jokes that Amy Schumer has stolen, and it's 27 minutes long.
Yeah,
and showing it side by side about a joke someone told years before, and then she literally steals the same joke.
And I didn't know Tosh like.
Oh, he
blatantly
called her out.
He called her out.
That was years ago, but yeah, he called her out. He was not a fan, but fuck her, man. She's still a lot of her acts from other people.
Who was the other comedian that got in trouble for that?
Dane Cook.
Oh,
Carlos Mencia.
He's the one who really got in trouble for it. But Dane Cook has always just been kind of known as someone who does.
Dane Cook's a hack, but there was another comedian which I was thinking.
Yeah. It's Carlos Mencia.
Because
his whole, as far as I know, his whole career fell apart after that came out. Dane Cook has survived the storm. He's weathered the storm.
Sort of. I mean, it's not like he has big specials anymore. But
no, not really.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Comedians. Talking comedians on the Hodgepodge Podcast. Anyway.
So, yeah, but big movie news for North Carolinians is that we just found out that Star Wars...
Don't tell everybody.
Yeah. Star Wars will be filming partially in Asheville, and they will be
doing casting calls,
probably late summer casting calls for people that might be interested.
Like, if you want to play Obi-Wan.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you could go out.
We're not going to get Ewan McGregor back. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, but like for extras, clearly.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool local news. Looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Yeah, they had several years ago, they were filming Iron Man 3. It wasn't in Wilmington. It was just outside Wilmington, and they had a casting call here in Raleigh. And I actually got selected and went down there. And I am not in the movie. They cut the scene that they filmed. Or they at least chopped it up. There's like part of the scene.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Waved at the camera.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you.
The
plot point in it was like right out of like the Batman TV show. I swear to God, it was that bad. And like we were sitting there at the tables, all the extras, and we were discussing it. We're just like, oh my God, if they keep this in the movie, this is going to be fucking dumb. And they cut it out. It was the beauty pageant scene. And they cut out that portion. Thank God.
Wasn't that the Stan Lee cameo?
Yeah, he was there. Stan Lee was there. All right, wait, was he there? I think he was. They filmed Stan Lee then, and then Downey Jr. came out and he said hi, and then Shane Black was there, of course. And it was cool. I mean, it was interesting. It was you get to see, like you're talking about how the sausage was made. You get to see, you know, how much of it is hurry up and wait. I mean, I was there like all day. I literally got like a hotel room that night because I was down there all day, all night.
Oh yeah, I know how all that works. My brother was in an episode of Matlock.
Oh really?
What?
All right.
Oh yeah.
Can you sign something for me before we leave?
With Randy Travis.
Oh my God.
Andy Griffith. Yeah. He made the cut. He's in the episode. You see him with the cowboy hat on at the bar. You're like, holy shit. But yeah, so that'll be cool. I mean, maybe
so it can all be.
It'd be cool. It would be cool just to go to the.
Yeah.
Just go to the. To the casting call just for the experience, you know.
Would you go through
or not? Not really, because the casting call, all the casting call was for Iron Man was just you just gave them like if you had like any acting credits or whatever you did or anything like that, you just gave them like a headshot and like a picture, and then that's
it.
And then you just that was the end, and then you just
For extras.
But the line, because they want to know what you look like. I mean, yeah, but the line. The line was, I mean, well, yeah, but they're seeing like thousands of people, and the line.
My point for Star Wars is just like though, you know, you're going to be in crazy makeup.
Yeah,
maybe, so it's, maybe not. Depends on where you are. I mean, if it's a place where there's a lot of humans, you might not be.
Yeah,
you're just being crazy.
I just want to be a Wookiee.
You're not tall enough.
I could be.
You could be a baby Wookiee.
You should walk in on stilts.
Maybe I will.
Like Bart Simpson with the vertical stripes. Because as you can see, he had like the clouds. Yeah. As you see, I've grown the appropriate 3 inches. You need it.
I think Vin Diesel did that whenever he got the Groot job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So stupid. He was walking around in stilts.
I still think it's weird that they... I don't know what they're paying him, but I still think that that's a weird thing to get a big star to play that. When literally you're doing nothing and you're saying three words over and over again,
yeah.
I think I always thought that was an odd thing to try to wrangle any kind of name into. But yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that sounds like a good segue.
Hello.
Bring it back to the Guardians
to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Obviously, the second Guardians movie. And the first one came out in 2014, and it was a big hit. Surprise hit, people, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody knew what the hell it was. And now this movie is probably one of the most anticipated movies of the year. I was watching Collider, though. They were breaking down the box office, like the big blockbusters of the summer, and they were predicting what's going to be number one. And none of them picked Guardians. You know the number. You know the top one.
I mean, I will
Spider-Man
of the. Yeah,
Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't.
Spider-Man.
I would never assume it would be number one.
No,
by any means.
Well, choose Spider-Man over Guardians. I think.
Well, the only reason why I would say possibly Guardians is because when it came out, I mean, it has all that lead time to make a lot more money. Whereas Spider-Man is coming out around 4th of July, and around that time, people might be like,
"That's true." You know. It's still just Spider-Man's such a the franchise.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now Spider-Man. People know he's a part of the Avengers.
Yeah, right. Movies. Yeah, and they've already seen.
Oh, yeah, the fact that Robert.
Got a little taste of how good he'll be. And
the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is in that movie is no mistake that they're trying to make that movie be. Like, just as long as he's not Transformers. God, but please don't let it be Transformers.
But that said, personally, I was looking forward to this movie more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And for me, it delivered. Like, I did not even temper my expectations, and I was very happy. Not a perfect movie, but I mean, the first one I like better, just because, for me, just because the originality of it. Like, that was the first big space-sized adventure movie that's, you know, that Marvel put out there, really.
Yeah.
And it really worked for me. James Gunn just killed it. And so it's hard to beat that original feel when you first go in, and I had no idea what to expect and just the smile on my face. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, I have some expectations that have to be met. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things about this movie I like better, too, at the same time. So for me, the first one just gets edged out as being the better one, but not by much for me.
It's kind of like the Avengers movies for me. The first one just had so much going for it in that it was new and it hadn't been done, you know, it was fresh, and that whole thing hadn't really been done before to that scale. And so the second one didn't have that mojo going for it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it just can't. But
also, the script on the second one wasn't better.
I don't know about that. I actually disagree. I think it was better.
That's part of the
Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We're talking Avengers.
Yeah. I think writing wise, the second one was better. The first one.
Okay, maybe. I just feel like that such a disservice was done to Ultron.
Yes. Ultron aside.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay.
It's just fresh in my mind because I recently just rewatched it.
Okay. Yeah. And, so it's certainly a debatable topic.
And it's not.
I can't. It's hard for me to take away Ultron aside when that's the whole point of the second
movie. I mean, I'm not saying it's a terrible movie. It's just that I like the first Avenger way better than Age of Ultron, just because Age of Ultron, the whole Hulk, Black Widow thing just didn't make any sense to me. That was pointless. And it just had like, I don't know, it just was kind of, I didn't like it as much. That in that regard, Guardians, on the other hand, I agree with Dirty A. I like the first one better, not just because of the originality. I just thought the first one was cleverer, with some of the jokes and stuff like that. And I mean, the finger across the throat thing is, I mean, that is such a, it's a great joke on so many levels, and then it carries through the movie all the way to the end. And I didn't feel that the new one had something on that level. But again, I gave them both the same grade. It's just that for me personally, the first one edges out.
I don't know that I would use the word clever. I get what you're saying, but, because it's mostly the same type of jokes, but you lose that originality.
Yeah.
Maybe. So I'm not sure that that's the word.
The first one was new, so it has that going for it.
But you know, the thing I like about the whole Guardians franchise at this point is that, even in the first one, I never felt like it was this super big origin story where you have to tell everyone's, you have to get everyone's equal time to get their background.
No, they did that in this one.
It just followed them in an adventure. I don't think it did that in this one. It just follows them in an adventure, and you almost just kind of learn through as they're going, as opposed to, let me focus on this story first, and then I'll go to this person. And
Well, they can't really do that because they're starting out as like a team. It's just like, in that regard, it's a little bit like X-Men, where X-Men just started as a team, you had to pick a focal point, and then so they picked Wolverine, and then they also Xavier and Magneto. But with Guardians, it's clearly the first movie is Peter Quill's movie, and then this movie is.
I'd say it still focuses on Peter.
This one does, but there's a lot more about. Honestly, it's more about Nebula, I would say, more than Gamora.
Yeah, for sure. She's definitely they definitely do her more service in this movie than her
performance was handy.
Movie. Very handy. Yeah, and a lot of that honestly is due to the fact that they didn't explain her enough.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, they give her
right
the reason for why she's acting the way she is. And
it's totally, it's totally right. believable.
Yeah, it makes perfect Thanos sense.
Out to be just a fucking dick. I mean, like,
yeah,
just world's evil. Worst dad.
World's worst dad.
Yeah. He won't be getting a Father's Day.
So I guess since this has been out for a couple weeks, spoilers, we're okay with.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much anybody's going to be listening to this right. probably saw
so,
already.
So, yeah. So,
but then again, maybe not.
So you know, but yeah, you're right. I think well, that, I wouldn't say it's Nebula's story, but they definitely give her more.
No, yeah. Of the supporting characters. And then, of course,
well, Yondu. I'd say that's it's more him than Nebula, for sure.
So the movie is really light on plot, because it's really, they have like a little adventure in the beginning of the movie, and then that feeds right into the main plot, and then they immediately go to the place where they spend the rest of the movie, basically.
Right.
So it's not, you know, people who are looking for comparisons, you know, because everyone's always looking for comparisons to Star Wars or whatever, because that's kind of like in the vein that it is. It's just not as...
Well, this is definitely on the lighter side.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't have as much gravitas as Star Wars.
The lighter side of space science.
But, like, you know, if you're looking to, like, Empire Strikes Back had, like, several
beats. There's some fucked up things in this movie.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Oh, no, there is.
The whole ego thing is just...
Oh, yeah.
Cruel.
Oh, no, it is, it is.
I felt they found a way to do a good balance in this movie.
Yeah, it wasn't the first one. I don't... Like, overly jokey, I don't think.
No, nor was it overly sentimental, no. I thought. It was just kind of had a little bit of everything in there. And the first one, I think, certainly left most of that sentimentality aside.
Yeah.
But it definitely carried into this one. Not the end, but this one had a little bit more throughout. And maybe I was just more engaged because I now knew the characters, too, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. But I actually like the fact, I guess you could already say the first one does this a little bit, too, but I like the fact that this doesn't have some hard, concrete plot to it up front. It just kind of follows them on the journey that they're having, right, from the very beginning, and it just kind of flows into what happens, as opposed to, we have to do A to get to B, and that's the plot of the movie. And movies that try to do that don't always work, because a movie like this would fall apart, but James Gunn makes this work.
Yeah. Well, there's no MacGuffin in this one,
really. Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Well, not even the fact that you would need a MacGuffin. I'm just saying they don't do much. Like, it's really more about it's really more about the character interactions than it is about, like,
yeah, it's more about plot. Relationships than some sort of cosmic plot.
Like, yeah, like they don't, and I don't even need that. I'm just saying it's like, you know, it doesn't have
technically
to be.
They save the galaxy, but it's not from some sort of, like, well, I guess it is an imminent threat, but nobody knows it's coming.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's completely unknown, and to be honest, without Peter, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Left the planet.
Or I guess seemingly there could be someone else, but in this particular case, without Peter, the threat is non-existent in the first place, so it's kind of an odd thing to save the galaxy from partially yourself, I guess.
So,
can we run down the plot? Ish.
Ish. basically, the movie starts with everything you've seen in the trailers, which is the big tentacle monster that they fight, and...
Japanese tentacle monster.
Sure. They fight...
Rainbow spewing.
They fight him. Her?
It.
Her?
It.
And they her? Fight They fight the monster...
That good news.
Take that on. Oh, yeah, yeah. They fight the monster on behalf of the Sovereign, which are these gold people who are really a bunch of dicks. And they told me you guys were a bunch of conceited douchebags, but I don't think so at all.
Using my wrong again. That was meant to be behind your back.
That was meant to be behind your back. Sorry. And basically, what happens is that this tentacle creature is coming to feed on these batteries that they have, and the Guardians stop the monster, and then
they're hired to stop the monster,
and then they are given whatever their payment was, but also they give them Nebula because they had captured Nebula. And Rocket, being who Rocket is, he steals some of the batteries, and then the Sovereign basically go after them for the rest of the movie, and they show up at inopportune times.
So it's a very prideful, beings.
They're like this elitist race.
Very, very much so. It's Ronin, and so any slight against them.
Well,
Ronin
was all religious, right? These people are just like,
right.
We're genetically superior,
right? This is more scientific based, yeah, almost. Right. They say that they've engineered. In fact, that's the reason that they say they're not fighting themselves, is because they're
It's above them.
Yeah, it would be too much of a loss for any of them to die.
Right. So,
which doesn't.
You think
which
you
doesn't
think,
make sense when think you find
if they're
out
genetically
when,
altering people that they'd have a partial soldier race as well.
No. But it doesn't really make sense though. That doesn't really make sense though when they show how they go after the Guardians, where they send drones that they control from a safe place.
Yeah, you think maybe they could have foot soldiers.
They could have just had those things shoot that monster. It's like, what do you got to hire the Guardians of the Galaxy for?
Sure. You're reading a little bit too much.
They've been trying to kill this thing and they haven't been able to, maybe, or something.
Who knows? That's literally just a stepping stone into the movie, part of it.
So then,
which was hilarious, by the way. That opening scene was great.
The Sovereign go after them, and then they go into an asteroid field. And,
all right.
I literally was like, come on. Come on. So then,
where else you want to hide in space, man? You got one place, an asteroid field.
Yeah.
So you can hide in a nebula. Rip off Wrath of Khan. This being destroys all these ships for them, and they crash land on this planet, and this person who helped them comes down, and it turns out that it's Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, what are you doing here?
Wow.
They talked. Chris Pratt talked about that he wanted to put that in there, but James Gunn didn't.
You look like
go
Kurt
for
Russell,
kind of. Yeah. And they kind like of Russell. They kind of like.
Well,
they kind of reference that a little bit when he says, "I picked the form that I thought that you would, you know, adhere to or whatever."
Well,
you know,
a little bit, but that was kind of that was slightly taking away because you see him at the beginning of the movie when he's young, the same form, like with her.
Yeah, true.
Mom. So it doesn't.
Which,
I don't
by the way,
really
Marvel wins the de-aging award again.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah. How amazing was that? And that was all natural. Like, wasn't like no CGI there. That was just. Yeah, that was just makeup.
No, it had to have been CGI.
No. It was mostly
practical, he said.
Yeah, no, there's an article about it. It's just all practical. It's just makeup. And it was amazing because I thought it was CGI too, kind of like Star Wars did.
Like with Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. I thought it was mostly CGI, because I remember commenting to our friend, I said, that's some of the best CGI work I've ever done. And then she let me know, no, that was all makeup. And then I read about it. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing.
Kurt Russell's ego, and he has his assistant,
slave,
Mantis, with him. And she is played. I can never remember this girl's name. Palm
Klementoff.
Klementoff, yeah. And she was in.
Ugly.
Yeah, she's hideous. She was in.
No wonder they put so much makeup on her.
She was in Spike Lee's Old Boy remake.
Okay, all right.
So,
a movie right in the same vein.
Right in the same,
right in the same vein.
God.
So basically, Ego reveals to Peter that he is his father. And then he says, why don't you come with me to my planet and I'll show you what's up.
Nothing nefarious going on here.
And then...
And when he says my planet,
he means his planet. So then Peter, Gamora, and Drax, Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, and then Dave Bautista, they all go with Kurt Russell and Mantis. And then Rocket, Bradley Cooper, and Baby Groot, Vin Diesel, who is adorable. He makes the movie for me. And also Nebula. They kept Nebula there. And they're supposed to stay there and repair the ship.
And of course, but this, she is a prisoner.
Yeah, she's a prisoner. Yeah. Karen Gillan plays Nebula.
This is a complete sidebar because it doesn't take away anything. But I thought it was odd when it shows Rocket rebuilding the ship, like he's just, it's almost like a spray paint.
Yeah, I know.
And then I'm like, but in the first one, part of their gift back to you was that they rebuilt your ship for you. The Kree rebuilt your ship for you. Now I'm like, well, fuck, that didn't take much at all to do that because
the ship was crashed into the thing and blew up, but in the first one.
Yeah. I a little too easy.
Like, you know, again, comparing it to Star Wars, when you see Empire Strikes Back and he's in the pit, he's fucking tearing the shit up apart. And then he's just doing...
It's like a spray paint.
I'm like, really?
Okay. But you know,
I liked it.
I mean, I thought it was cool. I just thought it was odd in contrast to the first one where they're like, we've rebuilt your ship for you. Like, clearly you didn't need that. but at the same time, like, but that's part of Rocket's thing. He builds cool shit.
Right.
That does stuff like that.
Yeah, he basically just had like a handheld printer, like 3D printer that he was just like spraying the ship with it. And,
So anyway,
cool tool.
So, they're back on the planet. And then what happens is Yondu, played by Michael Rooker, he is basically cast out from the Ravagers.
Yeah, there's a mutiny.
Well, no. Not before that. Before that.
Well, with Stallone.
Yeah, he runs into Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, technically, even in the first one, he would have already been cast out.
But see, I don't know. That was weird.
They didn't go into it.
I know, but it was just strange the way that they talked about it.
Well, it just so happens that this is the first time one of the few times he's run into Stallone, who's clearly like the head of the Ravagers, face to face, is the way I took it. Mm-hmm. But clearly in the first one, he and his band of Ravagers were already castaways. They would have had to have been.
Stallone plays Stacker, who is, for Marvel nerds, is one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy from the comic book.
Yeah, that was a cool little throwback.
And so is Yondu, for that matter. Mm-hmm. So
we're going to get Vance Astro in the next one.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know what those words you just said are.
Vance Astro is like Captain America from 3,000 years in the future. Oh, okay. Like that. I don't know. Something like that. He's got the shield.
Gotcha. Right. So the Sovereign hire Yondu to go get Peter and the others and to kidnap them so they can kill them. And then Yondu and the Ravagers, his Ravagers, come to the planet where Rocket and Groot are. And then there's a fun scene where Rocket lays all these traps for them.
That was cool to see more of his gadgets.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. But then they eventually overwhelm them, and then Nebula tricks Groot into letting her free, and then she basically cuts a deal with Yondu. But then what also happens is that in that time, Yondu says, well, we're not going to turn the Guardians over because we're just going to take the batteries and sell them because we're not going to be responsible for killing the Guardians of the Galaxy. Right. The Nova Corps will be on us. And his
Nova
men...
Corps, that's what I meant before.
And his men mutiny, led by the unfortunately named Taserface.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that was an actual person in the comic, too. Like, Taserface is an actual villain.
He's played by Chris Sullivan, who has recently been on that show, This Is Us.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, Sean Gunn is also in The Ravagers as Kraglin. He also plays Rocket.
The first one as well.
Yeah, he also plays Rocket as the body. He's the body man for Rocket,
is he?
On set.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, he wears the green jumpsuit and all that stuff.
Okay.
Couldn't get the work for Infinity War, though. They have a life-size Rocket doll.
Really?
For him.
Interesting.
Huh. I've seen shots from the set, and there's like this, this Rocket-sized, like just, you know.
Interesting.
Raccoon doll that they put on the set.
Huh. Probably because they got to jam that out real fast, maybe.
Yeah. Nice.
Who knows?
They got to finish this shit.
Well, Sean Gunn probably commands a huge salary now.
For sure.
After Belko experiment, yes.
I mean, you can imagine what he would cost for a birthday party now to crawl around in a green leotard.
Yeah.
And scar your children for life. Or yourself if you're just a 50-year-old man who wants to have a clown no go or something.
Well,
like
my brother pays me a lot more than this.
So the Ravagers mutiny, and then they capture Groot and Rocket, and then Nebula cuts a deal with them, and then she...
I was about to say, she never cut a deal with Yondu.
She cut a deal with them. She cuts a deal with them, and then she... they give her a ship, and then she goes to go after Gamora.
And she had shot off Yondu's headpiece, so he could no longer...
He couldn't control his arrow.
His arrow, yeah.
That was one of my favorite scenes, was Yondu trying to get Baby Groot to go get his...
Hilarious.
That was cute.
I love seeing Rocket, like, grimacing as he's asking, like, I knew he wasn't going to know what you were talking about. I was like, this is great.
And he just goes,
please tell me, y'all, do y'all have a drawer full of severed toes?
No, then we'll never talk about this again.
So good.
So Nebula goes after Gamora, so that brings us back to Ego's planet.
And they mutiny against Yondu because they think he's weak now.
They think he's
Or most of them think he's soft now, particularly in regards to Peter.
Right. Ego basically relates his origin to Peter. He's a celestial. He has planted his seeds all around the galaxy.
Yeah, for millions of years. He spent millions of years building himself into a planet.
Right.
And then he spread his seed and onto other planets.
Right.
In multiple ways.
Yes.
That's right. And you're right. And
spoiler alert.
His original story to this is that he hated to be alone.
Right.
So he went in search of humanity, basically. And that's when he came across Peter's mom, he says.
Right.
So that's his story, and he doesn't stick to that long.
And he says he fell in love with Peter's mother, blah, blah, blah. And Peter's like, then why'd you leave? Oh, because I had my destiny and I had to do this, yada, yada, yada.
Which was, by the way, right after that, to me, the worst cringeworthy part of the movie was when he starts reciting the lyrics to
Brandy.
I was like, that's unnecessary.
I saw some headline where the guy who wrote it is like, he got it absolutely right.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward story.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You don't need to repeat the lyrics. Like, all you had to do was say, I'm the sailor and you're the sailor. And everyone's going to be like, oh, I get it now. You don't have to. That to me was a little cringeworthy, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few times in here that I felt like they kind of forced the music in. Like, as much as I loved the opening scene, which I thought was adorable because of Baby Groot, it kind of felt like they were really, like, trying to... It seemed like it was only when Rocket was involved, too. Like, trying to force the music into the movie. Not as part of the soundtrack. If you just want to make it part of the soundtrack, that's fine. Like, they did... I guess he had the headphones in the first one. But
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They did it in the first one too. That's I didn't.
But see, but that was different. I mean, they were setting up like a actual stereo and shit.
That's what they were doing in this one. He was literally doing that in this one.
That's what he did in this one. I'm not talking about the first one.
The way they worked it in for me didn't bother me. It was just that the music didn't fit as well. I don't think in the second movie as it did in the first one.
Not as cohesive. For you.
There were a few standout songs like "The Chain" worked really well.
Yeah, that worked.
And they reused that a couple times.
Yeah. So there were a few songs that really worked well. And then some that just weren't...
Kind of like that lakeside...
They just weren't as catchy. Like
Some of them were. Well, I think that you run the risk of doing that when you're pulling old 70s tunes and trying to make a soundtrack off of it.
There's so many you could choose from.
Yeah. You know, but...
He also has to be
but
like
even
the
in the first
too.
But exactly. The rights to be worried about. And even in the first one, it's clear that he wants to use a lot of obscure songs as well as popular
He
songs.
Said he almost couldn't get the rights to Mr. Blue Sky because what's his face? Jeff Lynne was pissed that his song wasn't in the first one because they got the rights for something else. And then James Gunn couldn't fit it in, and he was just like, I'm sorry. And he's just like,
okay. Well, it worked perfectly. I thought
it it did. I'm not saying it didn't work. I'm just saying the way they work it into the characters using it was kind of forced.
I mean, to me, these movies are more as much about the music as anything else. So it's almost like a movie made to a soundtrack for me. It's kind of like the movie coming out, and I haven't seen it yet, but Baby Driver, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the point of the movie, is going to be the music is integral to the movie, and I feel the same way here. So I didn't feel forced.
Like Suicide Squad had an integral soundtrack.
Oh, wait, I forgot about Suicide Squad.
Yeah, where they cut the music five times in a row.
The one thing I thought was odd was, and maybe I just missed it, was that scene we were talking about where his dad comes in talking about Brandy, the song. He's listening to his Walkman, I thought, but his dad comes in and can hear it. And I'm like, what are you playing that on?
Who knows, man?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Both points are taken.
The other time it felt forced to me was when, and again, the scene is amazing. It's an amazing scene, but when Rocket's like, do you have any of old Peter's old music on board? It's just
that was one of my favorite scenes.
And I know, I'm saying the scene is good. I'm just saying the way that they, like, you could have just done... You didn't have to have the music. You didn't have to have the music actually in the movie.
Right,
you could
just
have had it as a soundtrack.
You just play it over, and you didn't have to.
I forget what the term is. It's like didactic or not.
Yeah, you didn't have to have the person announce it. The song's playing within the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. You could have just had the, you know, and it would have worked fine. Like
that's fair. Even in the first one, they didn't use it as much. It's basically one scene at the end, but I love the Yondu with his arrow.
I thought it was a little too unstoppable.
I disagree. I disagree.
Because I felt that in the first movie, too.
And they broke it in this one. It's not unstoppable. It missed someone. And he Zig, one person, Zig Bites.
It's Taserface.
Taserface, Zig right by it. So it's not unstoppable. Yeah. It's just, it's a very cool, powerful weapon.
Yeah. I think the first one, all he did was kill a couple Sicarians. It's like...
out in the field, no one knew it was coming. He's up. Yeah.
So, I like the arrow. I thought it was cool. Yeah, I like that it broke. And,
you know, that's pretty badass.
I'm Mary Poppins, yo.
That was good.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, way ahead of us, but it's great. It's great.
It had to do with the arrow.
It did.
Basically, you know, Yondu and Rocket and Groot obviously get away. Kraglin helps them because he realizes he did the wrong thing.
Well, and, I think he didn't even mean to do it. He was right. He was just kind of calling him out as if to say,
"Hey, he didn't mean to start a mutiny." Yeah, and
the Jar Jar of the Guardians universe.
Yes, exactly.
Misa introduced legislation,
and now this is a heavy super duper spoiler. Ego is the bad guy because basically what he wants
is David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Because what he wants, Peter, he should have done the goateed David Hasselhoff. Yeah,
he should have done even David Hasselhoff. Garth was his name.
That was his name?
Garth was his name.
Oh, man, Wayne. So he's the villain because what he needs Peter because he needs two Celestials. Because Peter apparently has the powers that he has. And he reveals that he, as Matt alluded to, planted his seed all across the galaxy. And then that was funny when he had like the mock-ups and like he's making out like these tentacle all aliens. These, like that. That's funny. And
which to me was weird until, because clearly like he doesn't have to be in human form. He could have been in any of these forms. But again, he's telling Peter a story that Peter wants to hear. It's not really the truth.
Exactly, right. So and what happened was he had all these children. And then he would go collect them, and actually he had Yondu collect them, which is why he got cast
some out of them.
Some of them. Yeah. That's why he got cast out of the Ravagers. And when a Nebula shows up on the planet, she fights Gamora, and nobody gets hurt. And they fight, and then they discover that there's all these skeletons, literally, in the closet. And what Ego was doing is when he found out that these kids that he had didn't have the powers that Peter has, he would kill them.
Or maybe they were killed in the process of learning to see if they...
No, he said he killed them. He said, I made it quick. He said that.
Oh, did he say that?
He did say that. He killed them.
I thought he said it was quick. I didn't know that.
No, he killed them. Yeah. He's like, when I found out that they didn't have it, he goes, well, you know, because, you know, again, he doesn't...
He don't want people around. He's...
Well, it's not just that. It's like what you said before when we were talking about it, that he is not...
Well, he's not sentimental because he's been around for millions of years.
Right, because he's so he
has a different sense of morality.
Right,
because
exactly
he doesn't see in terms of a person's life.
Right.
In 60 years he's been alive for millions of years.
Right.
So everything's temporary to him is what is
the
way he phrased.
And then Peter finds out that Ego. He killed Peter's mother.
Yeah, he flat out
gave her cancer.
He flat out tells Peter that, why he would ever...
It's almost like he couldn't wait to tell him. But anyways...
Well, again, I take that back to he says it matter-of-factly because he doesn't think anything of it.
Right.
He doesn't see things in terms of humans. So to him, it's just like, I did it. Because...
So what?
But at the same time...
What are you going to do about it?
But at the same time, the odd thing about that is, if that's the way clearly he thinks and feels... Why even have this story concocted? If you don't think that way in the first place, why do you have to create a story?
Because he's got to tie Peter to him. He's got to show him, I'm your loving daddy.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is he knows he has to do that to look human.
Right.
But yet he forgoes that later. Well, I guess because at that point he thinks Peter is part of
him. Yeah, he thinks he's in on the plan now.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay.
So, and basically what's going to happen is the seeds across the galaxy with Peter's help or his taken help, you know, forced help, are going to, it creates this giant blob that basically takes over the planet. And it starts happening on Earth. I was just thinking about how they're going to get tied into Infinity War, but that's not going to work because this takes place literally like
six months after the first movie.
So this takes place... In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is past, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they said it takes place around the Winter Soldier time or something like that.
So it's not too
whenever
long,
it's whenever.
It's before Civil War. I think it was I think I heard it was Winter Soldier's.
Well, because Civil War took place in 2016.
Yeah,
like all the Marvel movies have been the year when they came out. Mm-hmm. So this is before that, is before Doctor Strange.
Which makes you wonder why no one brought up in those movies.
The big blue blob. Why this big fucking blue blob? Yeah, showed up.
Where did that ever come from?
Exactly.
Well, did we get rid of it?
It's not good. That's not something they would bring up in Civil War because he was angry about the Avengers causing.
Yeah. Right. It was very specific. Yeah, yeah. Very, very localized plot line. There,
so. Right. But.
And it looked like it happened in like two towns.
Yeah.
But technically, no, it was one town because it was the town where his mother was from.
Oh, did you see his grandfather?
It was.
I saw that he was in it.
Oh yeah, in the car. Yeah, and they do show him. He was about eaten up by the blob.
But this should have technically taken place before Age of Ultron as well, because Age of Ultron is 2015.
Yeah.
So I would think that somebody would have said, you know.
Yeah. Anyway,
this big blue blob. What happened?
not mentioned. Not only what happened, but where the fuck did it come from?
Exactly.
I guess word would have gotten around, though, because people knew. Because, again, clearly they are known as Guardians of the Galaxy. It gets around that they saved the galaxy again.
Right. Wait, what? What does that have to do with Earth?
They would have known. I was saying they wouldn't have known what the blue blob was, but I'm saying it would have gotten around that what Ego's plan was and that was Ego.
Not to the Avengers. The Avengers,
to everyone in the galaxy is what I'm saying.
Avengers don't know. No, because that's the whole thing. The Avengers are not like connected to them at all.
Oh, that's right. Right now they don't know who
they don't even know who they are. Yeah, they don't even know who they are. That's why I think I have a theory, and it might be based on what you posted. I think I have kind of a theory how they're going to all get tied together.
What I posted?
Your Iron Man thing that you sent to us.
Oh, right.
What's going to happen is they're going to go to Asgard.
And then
the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to get involved with that because Thanos is going
to
go
That's probably likely. It will likely be somewhere else as opposed to Earth.
Then maybe they'll keep Drax on his quest instead of making goo-goo eyes at Mantis.
Oh, he doesn't make goo-goo eyes either. You are also pretty.
On the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drax basically becomes if you're a fan of comic book Drax, you might be not totally cool with what they did with him with this. It's that because he's Drax the Destroyer, so he's really supposed to, he's all about focused on we gotta get Thanos. We gotta kill Thanos, because that's what he was basically, you know, that's what he was designed to do.
Yeah.
And he's more of like a joke machine in this one, which is fine because he was a highlight of the movie.
Oh, but he is
because he's hilarious. Because yeah. I mean, Dave Bautista is great in this movie. He's so funny.
He really is.
And basically, in the plot, getting back to the plot, yeah, the Guardians defeat Ego, and Yondu sacrifices himself to save Peter, which in the Guardians universe wipes out all the bad he ever did in his life to Peter in the past.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like, you don't know what did or didn't happen. So you don't know how evil he was other than because
Peter like sensationalized.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Right. He was a kid. So it was scary to him, but it wasn't like Yondu was just this evil, malevolent force that was always hurting him. In fact, it shows him teaching Peter how to shoot, right? I think Peter, it was more of a father figure, like that he would scold Peter, but admittedly he didn't know how to.
So Peter said he beat him every day.
See, and I think that was sensationalistic. Yeah. I think I agree with Matt. But again, it's speculation. You don't know how much he did beat him versus us knowing how much he didn't. So I think to say that
He only beat him a little bit.
I think to say that all the I'm using the word beat him. I mean spanking. I mean everything you're saying that is wiped out. I'm saying
it may have in been my that he was world, teaching him how to fight.
In my world, it didn't happen the way you're thinking it happened.
Yeah,
and I can't prove that any more than you can prove that you're saying it did. So there's no right or wrong there. It's just that's the way I choose to take it.
All right.
I don't think James Gunn would have taken an abusive relationship and turned it into something that we should feel good about.
Yeah.
Because clearly he's not like that. Because
I don't know. Did you see Super?
I mean, we see.
I mean,
like,
in this movie,
yeah, yeah, in this one,
yeah, yeah.
Shut up, crime.
Yeah, shut up, crime.
But like the whole
that's a great movie.
Thanos and Nebula and Gamora situation. We see just how horrible that kind of abuse is.
Yeah,
I just don't think he would have tried to make like an abusive Yondu be out to make him out to be some sort of like sentimental figure.
I hope not.
And even in this one, Peter clearly at the end he loved Yondu, so I think it was more of a father son feud as opposed to a tyrant beating some kid. Because even Yondu says, as soon as I figured out what Ego was doing with his children, I stopped.
Right.
Like, I took it as he was doing that because, yes, absolutely for the money, but at the same time, he also thought he was just taking a child to their dad as opposed to just some random kidnapping.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said, he found out what was happening, he stopped.
Right.
And that, by the way, did we mention that? That's why he got kicked out of the Ravagers.
Right, right, right.
Because he was taking these kids.
Right,
because
the
Ravagers don't deal in...
They don't deal in kids.
Kids, which...
That's the line that they cross.
I mean, it's a great line to have. Don't get me wrong. It's a great line to have. No
it's just,
child slavery.
It's just
great,
it's kind of convenient for this movie that that's the line
like
they don't cross.
That's like in their creed.
And
by the way, I thought the second time around, I was better with it, but... Sylvester Stallone was almost distracting for me when I saw this the first time. His character, it just felt like slightly out of place for Sylvester Stallone. Even though Kurt Russell's right there too,
right? But they give
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash. Like, where's Jack Palance?
But Kurt Russell, well, he's dead.
He's dead. Yeah.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell has a character in this, so
right.
it's not like he's just a cameo.
He is.
Really.
They shouldn't have let, and they may have tried to keep it. Day, but they shouldn't have let anyone know he was gonna be in it, and then it'd just be a surprise. That would have been pretty funny.
He was gonna be
gonna.
I mean, but like talking about like the first one and how that's like the same thing because you have the same thing at the end of the movie. A character makes a sacrifice for the others. For me, obviously, Groot's sacrifice in the first one is far more poignant than anything that happens with Yondu.
Well, 100%. That's because you're looking at it that he was abusive. I didn't look at it that way, so it was...
I teared up, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh, shit, that's sad. Like, I thought it was pretty fucking sad.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, like, an abusive relationship, so I thought, well, that's really sad.
You put it the best way. You put it more succinctly than I could. I think in telling stories about Yondu, he was sensationalizing what really happened. Especially for the sake of, A, that's what children do, and B, it's more of a story. That way, and to be honest, with your point, Doug, let's be fair. He did kidnap him.
I know
he kidnapped him. Yeah. But he realized clearly sometime between when he kidnapped him and before he takes him to Ego, he figured out what Ego was doing,
right.
And then just raised him as his own, or tried the best he could to raise him as his own, given that he was an orphan and that he didn't have parents and that he was a Ravager. It's clearly not the environment to raise a kid.
Yeah.
But,
a bunch of pirates is not a great place to raise a child. But
Worked out for Jack Sparrow.
It did. Yeah.
did
you see Paul McCartney as a...
Oh, God.
What was that?
Get the fuck out of here.
give me a little partner. With my yellow summer.
We're going to go find a little treasure over there. It's going to be great. We'll bring Ringo in here. It's going to be great. Gamora is also tied up in the Nebula story, and you find out a little bit more about Gamora. But see, it's like I said, it felt like it was more Nebula story because Gamora's realizations about her actions in the past felt to me a little tacked on at the end.
A little hand-fisted.
It felt a little like, oh, by the way, Qui-Gon Jinn can turn into a ghost. We got to throw that in real quick before the end of it, before we get to the Star Wars. So
it did feel a little like, okay, we don't have enough time to fully develop this, so we'll just, here's a couple lines of dialogue and it's done.
And they're really pushing the Peter Quill, Gamora, romance angle, which to me
they're doing it on purpose.
No, I mean they are. To me, it doesn't really work that well for me. Just based on who he was in the first movie, and then all of a sudden now she's like his end all be all. I think they could go. It feels a little like to me. It feels like she's the girl, she has to hook up with somebody, you know, so that's kind of what it feels like to me. Where I feel they could have done, they could have gone a different way with it, to make it a little bit more interesting, just a little different take on it. But that's just me.
I wouldn't say that bothered me. I certainly didn't see it as a hand-fisted relationship between them. He's just trying to love her. I think in the first one, that's how relationships start, right? The problem is this takes place literally right after the first one. Right. It's not like any time has passed.
Right.
So yeah, it's hard to, and that given that small amount of time that, you know, he's saying, but he's not really saying it's love. He's just saying there's something there. So I know it's the same Diane thing. I'll tell you what though, I liked the villain in this one better. It was relatable more.
Just, because Ronan is just, you know, they barely developed him at all.
Yeah, me, the villain in this one, the storyline of that worked a lot better. I was more in tune with what was going on. I was surprised to read online that some people weren't getting the whole thing was happening. I was like, what? That's pretty well explained. It's literally explained to you, like
an entire scene devoted to what he's doing.
But I felt more emotionally connected, clearly, with this storyline with the villain than with Ronan. Even though Ronan clearly was supposed to be, I mean, y'all know more than I do, like a bigger villain in the Marvel universe, right?
Yeah. He's more of a Fantastic Four villain, I think.
But he actually turns good at some point, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Ego worked. The only issue I may have had with Ego is that in the realm of this storyline, to wrap it up, maybe seemed a little too easy to kill a celestial that's a planet. Maybe. I mean,
in a sense, you're fighting a celestial with a semi-celestial.
Yeah, it's true. That's the Pac-Man thing. That was fucking hilarious. That's funny. I loved it when he was like, I'm going to build so much cool weird shit.
The giant Pac-Man.
The fight did seem a little easy. And I agree with you about Yondu, because we talked about it a little bit after we saw the first time we saw it, was that his arc felt like they could have extended that to another movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where, like, maybe he tries to make up with Peter, and then Peter punches him in the face or whatever, and then Yondu comes back.
It just felt like it was...
After the way he was in the first movie, it just felt like too much of a turn.
Yeah,
in just one film.
I was very upset that they killed Yondu in this one, because, like you, I wanted to see him become a member of the team in more than 20 minutes, right? I wanted to see him arc into a member of the team and have a father-son, you know, push and pull with his son kind of thing. That said, I mean, emotionally, it did work for me in this story, and it certainly... It worked for the parallel of having a father versus a dad, you know, that whole little plot line there. But yeah, I was very upset that, and I kept saying, well, maybe they'll bring him back. And then they incinerate him. I'm like, no, he's dead. he's done.
Although he was supposed to, there was talk about him being in Infinity War.
Yeah, Michael Rooker was probably like, God damn it.
Yeah, not anymore.
No, I don't know. It could be because, at least in one story.
Like a time traveling type of thing, maybe?
Yeah, well, there's one thing, one storyline with the whole Thanos thing where Nebula gets the gauntlet. And because she ends up being the one who kills Thanos in one of the arcs.
Spoiler alert!
well, at least she does what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how she thinks she's going to kill Thanos, because she can't even hurt her sister.
I know. Well, she gets the gauntlet and she's like,
that was one of the issues I had with the movie, is that it's like, I know they're all superpowered to a degree, but like the violence just felt a little bit too cartoonish to me. Like, nobody gets hurt.
I don't disagree with you. It works okay for me.
He just suffocated.
It works okay for me in this movie, because that's what this movie is. It's popcorn fun, and
it's a total.
Supposed to be that taken that seriously.
That's
but
what I was.
You're not wrong. Like, especially like at the end when Gamora's falling, it seems like she's fallen for miles.
Yeah,
and then Nebula just like whoop,
Yeah.
Like throws her back up, and then 2 seconds later, she crawls back up. Right. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you just fell, like, miles deep into a crevasse. Like, how did you do that?
That was one of the things that bothered me about the film. That's kind of like what you were saying, like popcorn. Like, that's kind of like what I was saying about Star Wars earlier, is that Star Wars has more gravitas. Star Wars got more of like an epic feel to it.
Of course,
it's more
for a second.
This is really just, you know, any gripes that I have with the film, it's a cotton candy movie.
Right.
It's not.
That doesn't bother me here because this movie is a fun movie, and let's face it, it is to a large degree made for kids. So
and it's,
you're not going to show a lot of bloody battles with people dying.
Well, I mean, I tend to have to be bloody battles with people dying.
Well, Yondu died. Groot died in the first. Groot died in the first one. Characters are dying. Plus, by the way, while I wanted Yondu to move on, I get why they had to get someone out because they introduced a new character here.
Right.
And B, Mantis. Once you get into Infinity Wars, where you already have the Avengers, I mean, there's only but so much you can do. In terms of characters.
The other thing is, you know, in talking about that, it's like, you know, this movie's supposed to be fun, you know, so that I kind of like, my gripes kind of get washed away, but it's not the same thing as, like, say something when people make that argument about, like, Transformers, because Transformers is, like, aggressively stupid. Yeah. Like, there's nothing
and
in this script.
And it takes itself seriously.
Yeah, there's nothing in this script that, well, even if they try to be funny,
it doesn't matter.
You know, James Gunn's script is not, there might be stuff that I disagree with. I'm just like, well, that didn't work as much for me. But there's nothing in here that's, like, dumb.
It's not egregious.
Yeah. Right, it's not just like, this is just fucking dumb.
At least he follows his own rules. Like, in Transformers, you can't have, I'm sorry, but goddammit, you can't have a giant, who knows how many ton robot hand fighting
Mark Wahlberg.
That doesn't work. Because let me tell you what happens. They pick Mark Wahlberg up between two fingers and just squish him. And then that's it. There's no hand to hand combat between Mark Wahlberg and a giant Autobot. Or
have you seen that ad with Mark Wahlberg, like, talking to the camera, but at the same time he's like fighting a bunch of robots?
AT&T ad, yeah.
I'm like, you just broke your arm.
Yeah,
you hit that one robot.
Done. Yeah.
They would murder you in 2 seconds. And that's the same with the Transformers movie.
It's just humans, they
don't belong in that.
Courage!
And you know, I can forgive a lot more in James Gunn's Guardians.
Right.
And for me, I've just, and I admit, I fully admit going in, especially going in, only going into the second one, having rose colored glasses on because I love the first one so much.
Right.
But it goes the same way because I also loved the first one so much. If this one had been bad, I would admit it to myself because it's doing a disservice to the original.
Right. I'd have been angry about
it. But this was, I mean, as far as sequels go, this was really close.
It was a really great sequel. It was, you know, and I mean, Baby Groot just makes the movie for me.
Now, I don't know anything about this. Baby Groot. I loved Baby Groot, but I wasn't like goo goo gaga, huh? Over Baby Groot, like some people were. Like,
I thought
it wasn't
was,
my favorite character.
He was so funny. He was so adorable. And you're just like, you know, and then, you know, it was him and Drax.
Drax
is so funny.
I wish that they hadn't wasted.
Look out!
I wish I hadn't wasted, like, the full scenes with Baby Groot in the trailers. Like, with the buttons.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't.
They did change that a little bit.
I wish I didn't need to see that whole scene in the trailer. That was funny. Like, which one? Now, which button do you press?
I am Groot.
No! That's literally what we just went over. How do you not know this?
I am Groot.
But I love the extended scene's funny. Like, the whole looking for tape thing.
Yeah.
Hilarious. It's like, how about scotch tape? Yeah, scotch tape will work. I don't have any scotch tape. Then why would you even specify if you don't it's so fucking, and that's all just background. You're just hearing that in the background. It's so fucking funny.
While they're fighting.
Gamora,
do you have any scotch tape? No, I don't have any scotch tape.
It's so fucking funny.
I don't remember hearing them answer. Like, I almost felt like Peter was just like around the corner, just like, oh, yeah, you got
that's
true.
No,
then
you're
he goes, right. He goes, nobody's got tape, idiot. You've got the tape.
Yeah, and then he goes, how about what you hear is Peter go, yeah, scotch tape is fine. Well, why did you say scotch tape if you don't have any? Like, why would you say it was just Peter you hear. He's like, did you ask Nebula?
Yes, I think
I did.
She was sitting next to Yondu. He goes, you know you didn't. Shut up.
But clearly that's going to play their tumultuous relationship's going to bleed into Infinity Wars, Peter and Rocket.
Well, see, let's talk about that, because this is what I'm talking about with the timeline, is that, you know, because the timeline is so squished in this, compared to the first movie,
right.
I said that this felt more like Guardians 1.5, because it felt like the storyline was like, here's the stuff we didn't get to in the first movie about his father, just kind of put that out there for the next movie. How are these problems going to remain problems for the 3 years that take place within the story world getting to Infinity War?
I don't know. It probably won't. I mean, it's...
I feel like you're taking the and not wrongfully so, but you're taking the chronology way too literally in terms of the way movies are going to interact with each other. And, you know, feuds do last for years. And I'm not saying it'll be like Knockdown Dragon feud. I'm just saying there's clearly
an issue
there. And now that he's left, he literally, and he had good reason, by the way, but, you know, when he leaves Peter to die, basically, for Gamora's going to be pissed at him about that. And it may even come like in the third one with Infinity Wars, it may be that, it starts out with Rocket's gone. He like left. And then he comes back in Infinity War.
But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go that deep into it.
I don't know. They may or may not, but that's clearly they've set something up there to.
Maybe
the deleted scenes.
Yeah, the
five fucking
The five stingers. Four are comical. One is actually only important. Well, I guess another one's important is that, you know, Groot will be normal in the Infinity War.
Yeah.
Teenage normal.
Because by Infinity War, he'll be full grown Groot again.
Yeah.
The other one is that the Sovereign basically are creating Adam Warlock. And I just hit on something in my head while we were talking about that. Is it possible Adam Warlock will be in the Infinity War?
I think Feige said no. Feige said that
that's a yes.
No, he doesn't normally lie. I think Feige said that that's going to be a Guardians character.
Because of the time jump, basically, between this Guardians.
Hard to believe he,
the
how
next
could
one,
he not have.
Is it possible
at least
he could be in
referenced
it.
Or something?
He'll
like
be like kind of like
Captain. Just put him in the oven. It's going to take 3 or 4 years.
Kind of like Captain.
That's true. You got to like
kind of like Captain Marvel, because she's supposed to show up in the Infinity War, right?
I mean, that's true.
They don't really say how those pods work, so it could very well take that long.
They said that Captain Marvel and one other. They said a few new characters are going to just show up in Infinity War. One of them being Captain Marvel. They said they're going to be introduced kind of like Black Panther and Spider-Man were.
They just
show up as their character. You know, they're already their character.
And then you're like, who the fuck's that? And slight explanation later.
I feel like Captain Marvel will come into it once the Avengers have to go to outer space, basically. They're going to have to leave Earth.
Sure.
And that's probably when she's going to come into it. She may be the one to come to Earth to get the Avengers. I don't know. But
I think what's going to happen
what's her origin?
Kree.
Well, she's part Kree. Her powers are Kree.
Her powers are Kree.
She's human
from the Kree.
Okay. She's human, but her powers are Kree-based.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that Thor Ragnarok will end with him going back to Asgard. And then maybe Thanos goes there at the end of Ragnarok, because that's where they had the other gauntlet, and then they also had the Aethers there as well, which is one of the stones.
The Aethers with the Collector.
That's right.
They did give it to him. Give it to him.
Because that was the bargain, yeah.
Right. That's right, they did give it to him.
Yeah, so he's got the Aether. The Nova Corps have the Power Stone.
They have
the purple one. The purple gem.
Yeah, whatever that one is, yeah.
And then the blue one, the Mind Stone is in Vision.
Vision.
And then
the Tesseract is on Asgard.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because he locked it up and took it with him.
Yeah.
So Asgard's got...
So they do have that. So it still works. So Thanos could show up.
He could go there to get...
I think he might show up at the end of Ragnarok, and then what happens is Thor will call the Avengers to Asgard.
Does he have any of them
to
right
help
now?
Him?
Who?
Thanos?
No, he doesn't. He has an extra gauntlet.
He has the gauntlet, but
he has an extra gauntlet. Yeah.
Okay. He had the Tesseract.
He had it, right.
I gave that up.
Okay. All right. Mm-mm.
No, he didn't.
He had the Mind Stone.
He had the Mind
Gem and gave it to Loki as part of the staff.
Yeah.
But is it possible? Is it possible he didn't know? Is it possible he didn't know what that was and he just gave him the staff?
I don't think so. I think he probably knew what it was.
Why would he give it to Loki?
Well, Loki didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's trying to give him.
He needed Loki to succeed.
Right. He needed to give him something to make sure to.
To guarantee definitively that guarantee that,
yeah, okay, all right.
But I think that's what'll happen because that'll be an easier fix for to get the Guardians involved.
Yeah.
The only other way the Guardians get involved is if Peter Quill somehow just goes, I want to go back to Earth.
Go back to Earth.
You know, so, yeah. And see Grandpa. You know,
that would
or something
be
like
that. Very convenient timing.
Well, exactly. Exactly. That would be exactly. Very coincidental.
So I think it'll somehow be tied into Thanos. Yeah. Because.
Yeah, I think, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Nebula in the
Gamora. Well, yeah, I was about to say, right. they've already got the angle to play with there. Nebula's already going to be after him.
No, that's true.
But it's about
how do you get the Avengers in there as well. So it's like that's.
Yeah.
They'll probably meet up in their common quest to find Thanos.
I was about to say, you know, somehow we know Hulk ends up on
Scarf. Sakaar.
Right. So him and Thor are both there. So maybe about finding one or both
Captain
of them.
Marvel.
Right?
I think Captain Marvel is going to be the connective tissue. Like, since she is related to the Kree, I think that's her connection to the Guardians.
Right.
And then obviously she has a connection to Earth, and she must know about the Avengers. So I think she's going to be the one to bring everybody.
I hope so.
Which would be cool. That'd be a good way to introduce her.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't require a lot of backstory. All you got to say is that she's gotten her powers from the Kree, and then you automatically have a connection to those two groups.
Yeah, and then you just, any backstory you really want to give her in detail, you wait till the movie.
It'd be interesting if they introduce her like that, and then to see what the new movie's going to be, her movie's going to be like, because they might not make it an origin story, because her origin in the comic books is so fucking convoluted.
Well, they're redoing it anyway. They're retooling her entire origin. I think we got a hint of that in Doctor Strange, when he was talking on the phone to his assistant.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that before he gets in the accident.
The first patient that he learns about is Rhodey.
That's right.
And he's like, nah, anybody can fix that.
And then
the next one was like a woman with a psychiatric disorder, the electricity, you know, something. And he's like, oh yeah, that one. And then he goes off the cliff.
You're right. You did mention that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that might be her. But anyway, they said they're going to totally redo her origin because it was dumb.
Cool.
And
it's very, there's like different origins basically that are all convoluted.
Yeah, I mean, I guess most comic book characters these days have,
which is,
it's a core, and they.
Well, it's like she gets her power from a dude,
something else, an alien dude. Yeah.
And so it was very close to Green Lantern, and I think they want to stay away from that for obvious reasons. I will say one thing though about the whole Celestials with Ego in this one, I didn't read if this was actually the case. I think Gunn may have been hinting at it, though. But the Celestials kind of seem like they're the actual, like, Ego is actually an embodiment of the ego, of, like, the human ego. Like,
yeah, sure.
Like, he's spreading a seed around the galaxy. Right. He thinks, like, yeah, I got to multiply.
Ego is very aptly named.
Yeah. And the other Celestials are, Jeff Goldblum's character.
The Master.
The Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster, yeah.
He might be it. Because supposedly he's a hedonist in Thor Ragnarok, and he just, everything is for pleasure.
Sure.
Which would be, the id thing. So I wonder if, like, symbolically that's what all the Celestials are.
They embody
this, like, primal instinct of humanity.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But Ego was definitely along those lines in this one. Doesn't care about anybody else. Has no moral... about killing off all these kids.
That's what he said. He said, yeah. You know,
but he loved Peter's mom.
Sure.
I think in his mind, it's not that he didn't love Peter's mom. He probably did to some degree. But he
doesn't understand what love is.
But he does, right. He doesn't see it in the same terms of humanity and that same kind of love.
He wants to know what love is.
He's like, oh, I love
her.
He
wanted her to show him.
Yeah. But nobody else is going to love her, so I'm just going to put some cancer in her brain. Right. See you later.
Yeah, that seems like you could have just left and not came back. Yeah. You didn't have to.
Exactly.
I guess they said, you know, it went back to, like, he knew if he didn't kill her, he would come back, and then he'd never leave, and then he wouldn't be able to fulfill his destiny.
Well, the other thing is, too, is that if you take the mother away, it's a lot easier to get the kid, basically, too. He could have just kidnapped the kid, too.
That's
but,
true, too.
You know.
Yeah.
He could have taken her to court.
He could have taken...
Look, I can provide a better home.
Look, I'm a god.
Like, I'm literally a home.
Right.
That would have been the shittiest Marvel movie ever.
What is she, a waitress?
She's got brain cancer.
Come on. She's got brain cancer.
You gave it to me.
That's neither here nor there.
Your Honor.
Let's not quibble over
objection, Your Honor. Objection.
Do you or don't you have brain cancer?
I didn't give her brain cancer. Okay, yeah, I gave her brain cancer. Yeah, I gave her brain cancer.
Objection, Your Honor.
Fuck your couch.
Fuck your brain.
So, don't go see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, it's
terrible. It's fucking
terrible. The deleted scenes, though. So, we talked about Adam Warlock.
We don't really need to talk about those.
Well, I don't want to talk about them other than the fact that they were just mostly superfluous.
Yeah.
I felt like the Warlock scene could have very well just been put into the movie. As opposed to a stinger. And then the other ones were just...
Junkies.
Funny little bits that were junk.
To be honest, if you're going to stay, save for the credits, because the credits themselves are actually pretty funny.
They're
pretty funny. So
And
Jeff Goldblum is in the credits.
Yeah,
it's very subtle, but he's in there.
I read, and y'all have to let me know about this because I don't know anything about the character, but I read a possible future installment, like when Peter has gotten, however you want to say, like. I'll use the word hypnotized by Ego. You know, his eyes go black, and he's like, I see eternity.
Right.
I heard that could be talking about the character Eternity, who could show up later, as opposed to, you know, the general idea of Eternity. So I don't know much about that character, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, Feige, they've been talking to him about Phase 4, because we're not even halfway done with Phase 3.
Because why not? Hey, I'm glad. It's great.
He can't talk about it because it centers all around the Fantastic Four, and he contractually cannot reveal that yet.
Right.
I'm sure,
but he has said that like it may not be like anything that we've done before. Like it won't be like the other phases.
Honestly, I hope not.
I hope not too.
I hope that they do something really fresh and original.
Because the thought is that what he means by that is they're going to go cosmic.
That would be fucking awesome.
Love it.
That would be the best. Cosmic.
Like, if they spent a whole four or five movies
and
just on the cosmic universe.
I think in talking about that, I think that's where Guardians was so important that it did well.
Yeah.
Because it proves that they can do that successfully.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do that, though.
I think it would be
good. I see it coming. I don't think they'll do another, you know, bunch of, like, Captain America, Iron Man.
Earthbound
movie. Heroes anymore. I think they'll take a break. Give us, a phase that's cosmic.
Yeah.
And
I think
probably recast a lot of roles for Phase 5, which will go back to Earth, and
or maybe you can even drop something that's Earthbound,
because a lot of these characters might die.
I was about to say,
Infinity War.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen in Infinity War, but in terms of comics, fucking most comic book characters are from the stars or have powers that come from celestial bodies, right? So it makes sense that you explore that part of the universe too, as opposed to always being grounded on Earth.
Yeah, I definitely want to see some of these new characters. Like Captain Marvel, she's essentially a cosmic character. You could center around her for Phase 4.
But I mean, that's why we love these movies. That's why we love Star Wars so much, right? It's not. It's something that's not Earth. It's something that's. That's created that someone envisioned and that we can now see play out on screen.
But Marvel's bread and butter is
true.
The superheroes. Iron Man.
Well, they have. I mean,
you're talking about
the Earth heroes, but they can't.
Heroes, yeah.
They can't go to that well forever. I mean, it can't always be Iron Man, Cap, and Thor.
I'm not saying it will be, but there's plenty of characters.
They do that to come.
There's plenty of characters on Earth that they can explore and stuff like that before
that they own the rights.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still going to go, and Feige, they've actually been sort of hinting that they may get Spider-Man back permanently.
I heard that. I didn't know how much credence to lend to that.
I'm guessing it's probably true, because Sony obviously can't do it themselves.
If Homecoming ends up being the number one movie this summer, I can totally see that happening.
Because Sony would still be involved.
But the thing that came out was that
just being more of an open ended relationship.
Yes, because the thing that came out is Amy Pascal said it's basically only for it's basically and then Feige said it as well. It's only through.
Homecoming, so maybe Sony might have more of a hand in doing the individual Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is that Sony will still be involved in the distribution. They'll still get their cut and all that.
They'll get their profit. Marvel will
be in charge of the creative.
That makes sense. That would be great.
But see, the only problem with that is though
it's sad, but also smart for Sony to do.
Yeah. Well, no, I guess that works anyway because they'll be able to put all those characters.
What are you saying?
Because of the whole split kind of thing where it's like it's really only Spider-Man who gets to play in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, as opposed to like
his villains and shit don't.
You're right.
You know, so it's this weird thing.
Which makes the whole Venom movie
even worse. It's so stupid.
I'm pure Sony thinking.
I implore you, don't do a fucking Venom movie without.
Oh, they're gonna.
Spider- I know they already are.
And all the female characters, like Silver Sable and Black Cat.
It makes no sense to put that villain in
these movies without Spider-Man.
In the universe. What, are you just going to have some detective running after Venom?
Who cares? I mean, it's...
it's Danny Glover.
As long as they get Topher Grace Predator back. Too. As long as they get Topher Grace back. As Eddie Brock.
No. They should honestly get The Rock to play... fucking Eddie Brock.
Anyway, so yeah, I think we all loved Guardians. I mean, to some degree.
I just said it was garbage. Don't go see it.
All right, I'm sorry. Doug says it's garbage.
You and I think you should probably go see it.
I think it's worth a see. Oh, by the way, I did my second viewing was in 3D.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because it was the time.
So you've seen it like three times?
Oh, yes, because, yeah. So because the times lined up with it. Right. I had to, and it, you know, it was. Fine, but nothing.
Right. Basically, what you're saying is, when I go see it for a third time, don't go see 3D.
Right.
Okay, good.
Right. There's no need, unless it's like an Explorers IMAX or something.
Smell
efficient, maybe.
Smell efficient.
But yeah, it wasn't distracting or bad. Just not right. With the extra money.
That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Trash Podcast. We'd like to thank Matt for coming by
and your stupid shirt.
Yes,
Thor shirt.
I always wear this in your honor.
I mean. I like how in the trailer for Ragnarok, they completely destroy Thor in the trailer because once he doesn't have his hammer anymore, he's nothing. Like, why he's not even anything? And then they
if
cut
he's
off his
nothing
locks,
without that hammer,
then he's nothing with
he
the hammer.
He shouldn't have had it in the first place.
They cut off his gorgeous locks, and then they destroy his hammer. He's just nothing. He's nothing.
Just a dude.
Just a dude pretending to be another dude. Survive.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.